half. That one's hit deep to left. No one's going to take that away. It is gone. A solo home run for Pua Cam Milbourne ties this one up at one.
Join us as we break down the biggest games and meet the biggest stars. From the 960 Sports Studios in downtown Klamath Falls, presented by Gino's Cafe, it's Ballin' in the Basin with Josh Eldridge.
All right. Now we're here, all right. Had a little bit of issues getting on the air tonight, but thank you for being along with us. For Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports, I am Josh Eldridge, live not from Radio Row in Las Vegas, like the rest of our programming has been this week on Fox Sports Radio. We're somewhere better, right here in downtown Klamath Falls. And while I'll touch on the Super Bowl this week a little bit later on in the show, I want to spend time, of course, on our local sports, high school basketball. I want to touch on that. I want to get to Oregon Tech basketball, the men and the women's teams in a very unique spot at this point in the season. The baseball and softball teams open up play next week and this weekend as well. We'll have, let's talk about our guests. We're going to be talking Oregon Tech softball with one of our guests later on in the show. Addison Kashnick, OIT's third baseman, is going to be joining us on the show a little bit later on, a reigning Cascade Conference All-League selection coming off a career season. Very excited to talk with her about what's coming up for Tech softball this year. And then to continue our talk about high school basketball tonight, going to have some folks from the Mazama girls basketball team join us. Their head coach, first year, Kyle Slazak, going to be in studio along with a couple of his players, Leah Hernandez and Hannah Iacomelli, going to be joining us tonight in studio as well. All's to say, we've got a good show. Thank you for joining us. We're going to jump in with some high school basketball like I always do. I am going to change the order of things a little bit, though, since we've got some guests with high school hoops a little bit later on. I want to start with the boys. We're going to start in the 1A. We're going to work through all the boys, and then we'll switch over to the girls and work through all of the girls' matchups as well. So starting at the top, Chiloquin in the 1A class picked up a win 80-22 against Gilchrist. For them, they now maintain their spot atop the Mountain Valley League right now, 10-1. In that game, Leyland Wilder, 20 points. Denver Bravo, 19 points. Edward Jones, 14 points. They shoot a ton, but these are guys that you want to shoot a ton. 17 shots, 12 shots, 15 shots. It's a short list of guys I want taking that many shots in a single game in the basin, but I think if I were to pick five players who I want taking 20 shots in a game, Leyland and Denver are probably two of them. And boy, did they show out against Gilchrist. Like I said, 20-19 for each of them. And Chiloquin just on a roll. Not counting their forfeit loss that we talked about last week where they played an ineligible player, Chiloquin is 11-1 since the first of the year, and they are cruising right along. The other game that happened in the Mountain Valley League was Cross Point Christian defeating Prospect 70-51. This is the fifth straight win for the Warriors. They're ranked number 8 in the 1A. They are half a game behind Chiloquin in the Mountain Valley League. Rogue Valley Adventist Academy is two games behind them. Prospect Charter is in fourth. Central Christian, Harvest Christian, Gilchrist, and then North Lake round out the Mountain Valley League. Moving up to the 2A East Cascades Conference, Bonanza fell to Trinity Lutheran 79-28. Garrett Gallagher led the Antlers in that game. Trinity Lutheran is just a good basketball team. I mean, they're number one for a reason. They're 20-1 on the season. Austin Imhoff dropped 19 points against Bonanza. He is destined for great things on the hardwood. I don't know if he's committed anywhere, but he's 6'7" and he's a baller for Trinity Lutheran. That's just a tough one to play. They get Oak Ridge and then a huge game against Lowell on Tuesday. That's the team that is a game ahead of them in the standings, and that top two is where you want to be to try to get a playoff spot out of the East Cascades Conference. If Bonanza can try to pull out a win against Lowell on Tuesday, they'll pull even. Lost River suffered a loss to the Lowell Devils, 60-48. Don't have stats for this one, but I will say for Lost River, a little bit of a worrying trend right now. They've got a couple of forfeit wins in the last 2 weeks, but they haven't actually won a game on the hardwood, outscored another team since January 14th against Butte Valley. Trinity Lutheran tomorrow is going to be trouble, so I want to see Lost River get out and just earn some wins, and down the stretch of the season, it's going to be possible. They'll play Culver, who they do have a forfeit win against from earlier in the year. Culver has since played a couple of games. I think they were dealing with sickness, so they'll play the Bulldogs, and then they'll play the Bonanza Antlers to close the season, which should be an interesting matchup. Although for Bonanza's sake and for trying to get a basin team into the playoffs, the Antlers need to win out, and for the sake of getting somebody in the playoffs, I frankly hope that they do, and we can see the Antlers move on in the 2A class. Moving up to the Skyline Conference, Klamath Union lost to Hidden Valley 53-2. 42. This snapped a four-game winning streak for Klamath Union. They still do have a two-and-a-half-game lead on second place in the Skyline Conference. That game against Hidden Valley would have made things real interesting at the top had they won, but instead the Mustangs separate themselves from the pack just a little bit. Henley picked up a win against Mazama back on Tuesday, 59-38. Mike Ibarra had 15 points. Carson Sims had 14 points. Reese Schmierbach played a good game for Mazama. Michael Piscatello had 14 points. Caden Gannett had 10 points. And I'm going to be a little bit biased here. You know, a lot of folks know that we broadcast mostly these Henley games, and we get out for our games of the weeks to everyone else, but you know, we broadcast our Henley games, and I think Tuesday was probably the best game that Henley has played this season. They played really well against Mazama. They played really aggressive, and it turned into a solid win. But you play Hidden Valley tomorrow, and again, that's the team at the top of the conference. You'd like to try to get a win off them, but they're going to have to play their best game of the season again to do it. Not saying that they can't or that they won't or anything like that, but that's just the fact of the matter. They're going to have to play their best game of the season again on Friday. I hope they can do it for their sake. It'll be interesting to see which version of Henley we see tomorrow night inside the Hornets' nest. Looking at the Skyline Conference standings overall, like I said, Hidden Valley leads the way. KU is 5-2. Henley is 2-4. And Mazama is 2-4 as well. Phoenix still 0-6. Moving to the girls' side of things, we'll start again in the 1A. Chiloquin falling to Northlake, 61-39. Another unfortunate loss for the Queens. Again, talked about it, just a little bit banged up, having trouble scraping points together, and they just played the number one team in their league for that loss there. Crosspoint Christian has played two games earlier in the week on Tuesday, a win against Prospect, 57-16. Olivia Fenner had 14 points, 6 steals, 8 rebounds. Emmy Hogan had 11 points and 7 steals in that win, and then Crosspoint also picking up a win on Wednesday against Tule Lake. Kiara Mahan with 15 points, 10 rebounds. Hannah Langford, 7 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. Crosspoint Christian, as we look at the Mountain Valley League standings right now, they're in third. They're a couple games behind Rogue Valley Adventist Academy, who themselves is a game off of Northlake for the league lead. Top two teams in the Mountain Valley League, top three teams in the Mountain Valley League get a playoff berth. Crosspoint Christian right there in that mix right now. They have a half-game lead on Central Christian. Moving ahead to the 2A class, Bonanza, a loss to Trinity Lutheran, 55-30. For Bonanza, that snapped a three-game winning streak that they had going for themselves, so their record now sits at 5-2 in league play, 10-9 overall. Lost River picked up a win. That put them even with Bonanza compared with the Antlers' loss. They defeated Lowell 45-30. Now that they are tied for that second place, the date you want to have circled is February 13th. That's when Lost River plays Bonanza. And again, you look at how this league is shaking out. That's going to go a long way. Only the top two teams make the league playoffs in the East Cast. So if Lost River and Bonanza are tied come February 13th, only one of them is earning that second spot, so that's going to be a good one. Moving up to the 4A Skyline Conference, we take a look at the overall standings there as they are. Henley leading the way 6-0, Klamath Union 4-3, Mazama 3-3, Phoenix is 2-4, Hidden Valley is 1-6. For Klamath Union, back on Tuesday, a win against Hidden Valley 37-32. Lisette Wata, 15 points, 14 rebounds. Isabella Armijo, 11 points, 8 boards. They've got a half-game lead in second place in the Skyline Conference. Mazama, though, hot on their heels even after a loss to Henley, 70-27. We'll talk about Mazama's perspective coming up in just a little bit when we talk with Coach Kyle Slazak, Leah Hernandez, and Hanny Iacomelli a little bit later on in the program. But Gretchen Sheen for Henley, 14 points, 4 rebounds. Michaela Schroeder, business as usual, 10 points, 18 rebounds. Henley just continues to roll on this season, and halfway through league play, they don't look ready to give up their conference lead. It's kind of a race for second place. You hate to just come out and outright say it in the Skyline Conference. The good news is, though, is we've got some basin teams in that race for second place. Like I said, Klamath Union has a half-game lead on Mazama. You hope that one of those teams can make it and the basin can represent well in the 4A 16-team OSA state playoffs. It'll be real interesting to see how it shakes out. Klamath Union and Mazama, for their part, they finish out the season against each other on February 27th. They also have one more meeting coming up on February 13th, so plenty of time to work out the rivalry between the Pels and the Vikings, and we're going to chat with a few Vikings coming up as we continue your program tonight on 104.3 960 Sports. Kyle Slazak, Leah Hernandez, and Hannah Iacomelli joining us on the other side, so keep it here on MyBasin.com.
I'm Jason Taylor with Elevate Physical Therapy, Fitness, and Performance right here in Klamath Falls. We are proud to be your official timeout sponsor this sports season with 960 Sports, and we're even more proud to support the incredible youth athletes in our community. At Elevate, we specialize in helping athletes recover from injuries and get back to doing what they love. Whether it's a sore knee, a sprained ankle, or something even more serious, we take the time to understand each athlete's goals and build a personalized recovery plan that works. If your athlete needs physical therapy, Elevate offers one-on-one care, tailored support, and science-based treatment plans designed to build strength, restore movement, and keep them healthy for the whole season. So whether you're a player, a parent, or a fan, stop by or give us a call at 541-887-2030. We'll be here all season long supporting our youth and celebrating everything that makes this community so special. Elevate Physical Therapy, Fitness, and Performance right here when you need us all season long with 960 Sports.
The Basin is brought to you by Gino's Cafe on East Main Street in Klamath Falls. Dine in or call ahead. Go to ilovegino's.com.
Josh Eldridge back with you tonight on Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports. If you missed any earlier portion of tonight's show, be sure you grab the podcast on mybasin.com. And we've got our first set of guests in studio tonight from the Mazama girls basketball team, head coach Kyle Slazak and a couple of their players, Leah Hernandez and Hannah Iacomelli. Guys, I want to have you go around the room and kind of introduce yourselves. That way our listeners can get to know who's who as we go along. Coach, we can start with you.
Hi, Kyle Slazak here, head coach of Mazama girls basketball.
Hi guys, my name is Hannah Giacomelli, and I am our captain for varsity this year, and I'm a senior this year.
I am Leah Hernandez, and I am also a captain on Mazama basketball team this year.
It's really great to have you guys here. I want to start with some recent history. Ran into Henley on Tuesday, suffered a 70-27 loss against a really quality opponent in Henley. But before that, you guys had won three games in a row. You've been playing well. What's your outlook overall in the last 2 weeks of Mazama basketball?
We've really started to hit our stride. A lot of things that we've worked on throughout the season started to come to fruition for us. We're really getting after it on the defensive end, I think, and it's really propelled us on our winning streak. But yeah, Henley's a tough opponent, and we're proud of the effort that we put out, improving against them. Tough measuring stick, though.
Yeah, Hannah, what's been your perspective?
I think our team, our girls' focus has changed a lot more positive this year. We definitely have changed our focus on what we can do better next time when we lose and how great we did when we did win. I think that's definitely helped our positivity change, but also our outlook on our games.
Leah?
I think as a team, we're doing very good overall. There's been little humps in the road or little blockages, but we've gone over that in practice. There's a lot being done to help us improve every game. And while we just went on that winning streak, no matter the outcome, we're still ready to fight and ready to win any game.
Coach, you kind of talked about it in organizing this interview together, but you guys have had a really strong turnaround this year. 7-11 overall, 3-3 in league play, well in the hunt for a playoff berth halfway through league. That's coming off a season last year where Mazama girls basketball only won a single game. When did you realize that this year could and will be different?
When I applied for the job, I mean, yeah. I knew what these girls were capable of. We just had to raise the standard and start holding people accountable, and then they would rise to the new standard. There's a lot of talent on this team. I thought there was talent last year, but I think our staff set the standard, and then the girls have worked their butts off. I'm really proud of the effort that they put in, and they're starting to see the results of their hard work, and that's really awesome to see.
You talk about the defense being much improved. I've got to agree, but the numbers also back up that your offense has improved this year. Second in the league in scoring, last year in last place, and you've actually scored more points this season than Mazama girls basketball did in the entirety of last year. I want to hear from all of you guys, what sorts of things on the offensive side of the ball have you been able to do differently this season to improve?
One thing I think I've seen a lot on our offense is we get better looks this year just because I think we have a little bit more of an open mind, and I think we're a little more, like I said, goal-oriented, and so we know what needs to be done to achieve our goals, and our goals, as in winning, we need to rack up our points, and so we look more towards a bucket and not towards just our players.
Leah, what do you think?
I have to agree with Hannah. I mean, there's games where two people might be off, but you have the other three stepping up to get the ball in the basket. And at the end of the day, we're a team, and we've worked together, and we've come a long way from the last 2 years that haven't been very great.
Hannah Giacomelli, Leah Hernandez, and Kyle Slazak joining us tonight from Mazama Girls Basketball. I want to break it down individually for you guys here. Leah, we can start with you. You've been a varsity player now for 3 years. As a freshman, you joined the team. You earned honorable mention last year as all-conference individual performer. What was it like to be honored by the league last year as a sophomore, and how did you feel about your performance last season?
I was very surprised I had gotten honorable mention. I won't lie, coming in as a freshman, I was very scared, and especially as a starting point guard, because as I'm not very tall and I'm not very shifty, I'd like to say. I was set with a challenge, and I believe that I did overcome that. And then my sophomore year was just kind of building on that and figuring out different ways to put the ball in the basket. Giving the honorable mention, I mean, was a huge accomplishment for me, but my goals are still way higher, and I'm on the road to accomplishing that.
What are some of those goals that you still have set out for yourself?
Some of my goals, pretty much getting to play any college ball. I mean, even if it's JUCO and NAIA, I just want to play ball. I mean, ball is pretty much life, and I think without basketball, I don't know what I'd be doing in life right now.
One of your most prestigious accomplishments last year, one of 20 local players selected to be a Geno's All-Star last year. What can you remember about playing in that game in front of everybody from the community?
It felt amazing. It felt like everyone saw who I am and saw who I could do, and being surrounded by some of the other girls who were also pretty much buckets. I mean, getting to see them play is different than when you're playing with them, and I actually really liked it. Playing with every single one of those girls.
I've said it plenty of times on air while calling your games, but you're one of my favorite players to watch. I mean, your expressions on the court, you're constantly hustling, putting it all on the line. You have such determination when you play, and I mean that honestly. That comes on the volleyball court too. You just clearly love to compete. Where does that come from?
Honestly, my dad. I mean, I think without him, I wouldn't be the type of player I am mentally nor physically. He's always taught me you're either one of the best or you're not one to look out for. And I'm always just like, I got to be better. Everything's got to be better. Oh, I did great, but I know there's something else I can do. I always look at what else I can do better.
We talked about last year being an all-league honorable mention. This season, though, averaging 16 points a game, 7 rebounds, an improvement, certainly. What skills did you work on in the offseason to help up that productivity?
Getting my shot off quicker. I knew that coming into the season, I wasn't going to be a guard anymore. I knew I had to find a way to get the ball off quicker on some of these taller players and faster players, and just working on that off ball and getting other people looks and just adjusting the way I shoot the ball, getting it off quicker, because I know I have struggled with getting the ball off quicker, and it has taken me a while, but I'm to the point where I'm I'm happy with the way I'm shooting the ball right now.
Upperclassmen this year, clearly girls on the team looking to you as a leader. I think you've always had that in you just from watching on the court, but this year it was backed up, unanimously voted team captain. What did it mean to be kind of honored by your own teammates in that way?
I was very, I wouldn't say surprised, but I was very glad that they saw me as a leader and not just someone else who's playing basketball. I mean, I was very nervous starting off the season because I didn't know how everyone would take it. And when you're a captain, you have to recognize that every girl takes compliments different or takes criticism different. So just learning everyone has really been a challenge. But I think I'm adjusting very well to it.
You talked a little bit about hoping to play basketball after high school. Have you kind of looked at what that looks like for you, what you want to do after high school specifically?
I mean, I want to be anywhere in the medical field, I know, and even if I don't go to school for basketball, I knew that I'm going to have a good career.
Here talking Mazama Girls Basketball, we've got Kyle Slazak in studio along with us tonight, along with Hannah Giacomelli, and you just heard from Leah Hernandez. Hannah, I want to chat with you now just for a bit. You only played 4 games this season. You went down with an injury against Lapine. Can you kind of tell us, for those who might not know, what happened, where you're at in your recovery, anything you're willing to share?
Yeah, of course. So our first home game, against Lapine on December 9th. I was going on a great game. Everybody on the team was doing amazing. We ended up winning that game too, which was great. Our first win definitely boosted our girls' confidence. But I sadly, first quarter, got a breakaway layup and fell wrong on my knee somehow, and it tore my ACL, part of my MCL, and tore part of my calf. Right now I'm still waiting for surgery. Should happen the next week or so. But that's about it so far on recovery-wise. I've been going to PT twice a week. Thank you, Elevate. But that's about it.
Shout out to Jason Taylor down there at Elevate. Coach tells me you've taken on a leadership role within this team just from the bench. Was that hard to accept for you, or did you find that to be an okay transition?
So basketball is like one of my favorite things in the world. And coming this season, I worked a lot this summer to play this year, and I tried my best to improve not only for me but for my teammates because I knew this year was going to be different. And then after I got hurt, it was a challenge. I missed a couple games after that because I had a hard time coming back, but I'm so glad that I did. My girls on the team are so amazing. They're always positive, and they're just great players to be around, and they're so easy to lead. Like, I feel like I can lead just by example, and they all take it. They take it how they want it and how they need it. And I really appreciate them always being there for me, but also having the opportunity to be there for them, still being able to go to the games and sit with them and talk with them on the bench and tell them, hey, we need to fix this, this, and this, or hey, how can I help you with this? It's been a challenge, but I'm loving every step of it.
Just with all those boxes you're checking right there and with how you're having to deal with this right now, seems like coaching might be sort of in your future anyway. I also saw online that you hosted a basketball skills camp earlier in the year for 5th through 8th graders. How did all that come together? That was after your injury too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did that all come together?
It was amazing. Thank you, Coach Davidson. Leah also helped, and so did Sage White on our team and Armita Kirkpatrick. Originally, I was supposed to just be me, but since I got hurt, it's a little harder to show the kids how to do some things, you know?
Sure.
But with their help, we got a good turnout, about 30 kids each day. It was great. And I love being able to help other people. I mean, some of these kids that came, I got to see them, like, mentally, like, everything click for them. Some of their shots, and I was helping them with some of their techniques with finishing and stuff like that. And I could see it click in their brains, like, oh, this, this, and this. And I really, really enjoyed working with them. And I think that would be a possibility in my future at some point.
Do you have plans for any more basketball camps or just the one?
I have been doing personal work on the sidelines. People have been talking to me, and I've been doing singles work. But I think maybe in the summer I might host another one with Underrated Hoops. But other than that, not definitely sure.
With it being your senior season, have you given much thought to what post-high school looks like for you?
Yeah. So I want to be in the medical field as well. Like Leah said, it's been one of my biggest dreams since, like, probably freshman year. I want to be a surgeon, and so I have to get a 4-year, 8-year degree technically. But I also really want to play basketball after high school, and I've contacted multiple coaches. I've been talking to lots of them. Redshirting looks like it might be my future, but no definite on which college yet.
Here talking Mazama girls basketball. Coach, I want to start talking with you now. Coach Kyle Slazak along with us tonight. Your first year coaching at the varsity high school girls level, what drew you to the job initially?
Last year I was asked to come in and help with the JV2 team, and I had a couple friends that were in the program, and my niece is a part of the program. And I've watched a lot of these girls growing up, going to their YMCA games or AAU games, all the way from they were like 8 or 9 years old. So I was like happy to come in and hopefully help them. And I really enjoyed it. It's tough at the JV2 level. It's a lot of teaching. And so I learned a lot about myself last year. And then when the job came open, I had a couple girls ask me to apply for the job, and so I took some time and thought about it, and I really thought that I could turn it around and have some success with these players. And I went to Mazama, so I have a lot of pride for the school, and so it's been awesome to be a part of it.
I tried to dig up some of your playing history from Mazama. It looks like you were there early 2000s, played for Coach Rose back
Correct.
There. Winning as coach in Mazama boys basketball history, what, if anything, did you pick up from him that helped shape you as a coach?
Defense and rebounding. I got on the floor back in those days because I played defense and rebounded, and we worked on that a lot in practice back in my day, and we work on that a lot now. These girls will tell you that we don't focus on offense too often. We have a lot of skilled players on the offensive end, so the points will come, but we focus a lot on boxing out, rebounding, and then getting after people on the defensive end.
You've surrounded yourself with some really good assistant coaches. Coach Fast, obvious deep ties to Mazama. Coach Drew feels like it'd be quicker to talk about where he hasn't coached than where he has at this point. What do these guys do for your program now that you have them with you?
They're a lifesaver to me, and I think they've done a wonderful job helping the girls reach their goals. I'll start with Travis, Coach Fast. He's been my right-hand man all season. He's always talking about what he's seeing. Sometimes I get locked into the game and I gotta see the bigger picture, and he helps me with that. Coach Radford has done a great JV team. I think it's probably one of the winningest JV programs that we've had in a long time. He's got a great perspective, and he really focuses on his faith, which is good for our program. I think that's really brought our girls together. And then Coach Struve has been a wonderful mentor for me. Like you said, he's been doing it. I think he said he had 53 or 54 teams that he's coached.
Yeah.
So he's got a wealth of knowledge, and I've leaned on him almost from the start of the year. I ask him questions before games. I ask him questions after games. We talk for hours on the bus rides back. He helps keep me calm. He bounces ideas off of me. I bounce ideas off of him. So this staff, I couldn't have dreamed of having this wonderful staff, especially last summer when we had the job opening and we couldn't find anybody who wanted to apply, and we were searching. It was just me and 25 girls out there all summer, and then all of a sudden it started to just fall into place, and I think all of our goals are falling into place because of that.
If you had one thing, statement, set of values, whatever it might be, that you hope girls take with them when you're done in your program, what do you think that thing is?
That's a good question. I think we really focus on bouncing back. From my perspective, last year, the girls didn't always bounce back from adversity. If things started to go poorly, you could kind of see their demeanor drop and their effort would drop. And we've had countless examples this year of getting down early. We start pretty slow as a team, but we always battle. And we've had a couple games that we pulled out at the end. We started slow and then battled back and crushed a couple teams lately. So not getting down and not losing belief, I think, is something that I hope to instill in these girls.
Here talking Mazama girls basketball, we've got us folks in here, head coach Kyle Slazak, along with Hannah Giacomelli and Leah Hernandez. Guys, I want to hear from all of you before we wrap up here tonight. I appreciate you coming in at such a pivotal part of your season. I imagine practice is tough around these days, not to raise any stakes, but Mazama basketball hasn't played a lot of meaningful February games these last 3 or 4 years, and you've got two big ones coming up. How are we all navigating this kind of unfamiliar territory of playing in these big games late, or does it not affect you guys at all?
For me, it's one game at a time. We're focused on Phoenix right now. They got three good guards that tore us up last time. We're watching film, working on our defense, and then looking at how we can attack them. We'll worry about the other game afterwards. Immediately we're on the film afterwards, but right now it's all about Phoenix, and I think that mentality of we only have one goal right now, and that's getting revenge for the early loss this season, I think that's been beneficial to our team.
Coming from our players' positions and how I've heard them talk and think, I think, like Coach said, one game at a time is definitely something that is starting to actually be installed with these girls. Because at the beginning of the season, we would always say one game at a time, and the girls wouldn't take it like that. It would take it slow, like, oh, but we have next game. They would never take it one game at a time and never actually hone in and focus on one thing at a time. And I think now that we genuinely do focus on one thing at a time and realize what we can break down for this game and how far we have come, I think helps them realize that this is different, but it's still something that we can do.
I think coming off of Like really bad two seasons, and I'm proud to say that they were really bad because they were. And coming off of that, with now having a couple wins, more than a couple wins in our like our pocket, it's giving us more confidence, and it's giving us more like, let's go get them. Like, it's time to show everyone who we are. It's time to shut everyone up. This is our season, and just going game by game has been something I think a couple of girls had to learn, because coming off the two seasons, we didn't really have no hope. There was no, let's go win this one. There was no hope. And this season, there's a lot of hope, and I'm very glad. And we're just prepared. We're preparing for our next competitor. Phoenix coming up, that's who we're preparing for. The week after, it's just game by game. There is no, let's focus three games ahead. It's always game by game, because we can't get ahead of ourselves.
I appreciate you guys coming down here again on kind of short notice as well during a busy week. I want to give you the final word. Anything you want to let the people know before I let you get out of here tonight?
I'd like to invite you guys down next Friday for the Pink Out against KU. I'm hoping that maybe that could be the game of the week.
Yeah, Friday night. We can take a look, try to book it. I'm definitely happy. It's at your place?
Yep.
Yeah, that's one where we got circled for sure. Anything for you guys?
I do want to give props to our coaches, because as much as he doesn't talk about himself like that, he really has turned this whole program around, including Coach Fast, Coach Radford, and Coach Shrove. And happy birthday, Coach Shrove.
Happy birthday, Coach Shrove. Leah?
Just kind of last final word. We're bouncing back, and I'm very glad to say that. And there was never a doubt in my head. So props to our coaches as well, because they've brought us here, and now it's just – it's our turn. It's time to put it away.
Mazama girls basketball, they're in action this week later on against Phoenix. Guys, thank you again for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Going to continue the program here in just a minute. Ball and In the Basin continues next. We'll chat with Oregon Addison Kashnick on the other side.
Hi, I'm Rob Cedar, General Manager of Klamath Falls Subaru. Today, I'm here to say thank you to everyone who chose our store in 2025. Hundreds of new Subarus found new homes, and we made thousands of new friends.
And I'm Jill. Our service team had a great year, too. Our awesome service department was ranked 7th in the entire nation for customer satisfaction. Subaru owners expect the best, and we're happy to deliver.
Here's some incentive to join our family in 2026. We've got great rates on new Subarus. 0% for 72 months on both the redesigned all-electric Solterra and the rally-inspired 2025 WRX. Add in 1.9 on Forester, Crosstrek, and Ascent.
Over the last 13 years through the Subaru Love Promise, Subaru of America and its retailers have donated more than $200 million to national and hometown charities.
Always comfortable, never corporate. Stop by and say hi. Klamath Falls Subaru, open 7 days a week on Washburn Way or klamathfallssubaru.com.
This is Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports from downtown Klamath Falls. We're back with Ballin' in the Basin.
Josh Eldridge back with you tonight from downtown Klamath Falls for Ballin' in the Basin, 104.3, 960 Sports, also with the stream and the podcast available on mybasin.com. If you missed any portion of tonight's show, just got done chatting with Mazama girls basketball head coach Kyle Slazak, Leah Hernandez, and Hannah Giacomelli. Definitely grab the podcast for that one. Our next guest in studio tonight, Oregon Tech softball player Addison Kashnick. Addison, good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Good evening.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into it. Opening day closing in. How are we feeling individually kind of heading into the season?
Individually, I couldn't be more excited for this season. I'm ready to just go into it with my team. I think we're more prepared now that the sun's been out and we've been able to get a lot of good scrimmages in. I'm just more than excited for this year.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about it, the unusually nice weather. You guys are actually able to play outside in January and February. Has that ever been the case since
never.
You've been here?
No, never. Usually it's like probably 12 inches of snow by now, and we're shoveling it off our field just in hopes to, you know, see it. So now that we get to practice on it, it's been amazing.
I mean, honestly, how much of a difference does it actually make to be able to be out there actually fielding ground balls, seeing live pitching and things like that?
Oh, yeah, it's a huge difference. It kind of we get evened out with all of those southern schools, you know, and that don't have to really battle the weather and elements. So it's been really amazing.
I want to talk about last season first to give this season a little bit of context. Really good season individually for you last year. Batted a career high 306, earned all conference honors, but the year ended in the NAI opening round at home with the loss. How do you look at what all you accomplished last year with maybe coming up a little bit short with team goals? What is your perspective on how last year went and ended?
Man, bitter taste in our mouth for sure, especially all the girls that were on the field and in the dugout when that happened. And these new girls have adopted that kind of mindset as well. And they've just, we're all ready to get right back to it and get back to where we were and further. Individually, I think I want the best for the team. So if that means a better performance on my end, I'm working harder towards that right now. I think we're all working harder towards that. So we as a team have a different kind of attitude, a better work ethic towards that, knowing that defeat. So it's been good, honestly.
What do the goals look like as far as categorizing this coming season as a success when it's all said and done?
There's one goal I've always had in mind my whole career. It's that the national championship, the red banner. But I think as long as we are giving it our all and we know that we put it all on the field, that's a successful season for us.
Take us through a normal day right now as we're preparing for the season. Obviously, you got school, practice. What does a normal day look like for you?
Oh, for me, I got class, you know, if I, you know, I will go. I do go. But class, practice, you know, maybe a morning lift, maybe an afternoon lift, and then reffing OIT intramural basketball, getting my hours in for that. Maybe on the weekend working a basketball game, but just mostly mentally preparing with my team off the field, getting ourselves in game shape. Just the grind, really.
Yeah. Certainly so. It is a grind. Addison Kashnick with us tonight, Oregon Tech softball player. I want to talk about you specifically just a little bit. Began your career at OIT in 2023 after graduating from Mountainside High School, two-time All-State selection in high school. What was your recruitment process like to come here to Tech?
It was just a bunch of phone calls. For if you know Greg at all, he's going to call you. he called me at the worst possible times, too. But, you know, it ended up being a blessing in disguise because every call went well. And then finally came down here, got to see the campus, got to meet him and the other coaches involved. And I got to take my mom and grandma, which was really special. And they were like, yeah, they didn't want to force it on me. But they were like, I don't see how this would be a bad choice. And then, you know, the rest is history from there.
Yeah, as a freshman, started all 63 games, made it to the national tournament, runner-up there at Nationals. I mean, that's just a whirlwind. Getting on campus, being named a starter every game, national championship. I mean, how was that experience for you? How did you stay grounded during all that time?
It was pretty surreal, honestly, but, you know, it does help to have two other freshmen alongside me that got to start every game with me. We were pretty close-knit at the time, and we were just a good support system for each other. And then, you know, the girls on the team were able to always laugh with us and joke with us, and that made it super enjoyable. And then, you know, it's you're on campus, and you're going to the national title, and you, all your friends that you made in the dorms are watching you at home, and that makes it really special, you know?
Yeah.
That keeps you grounded.
When did you know that playing softball at the collegiate level was a realistic path for you?
Honestly, it kind of ebbed and flowed for me in my younger days. I didn't know if I wanted to. I didn't know how committed I would be. And then this opportunity just presented itself. It was a gift from God, honestly. And the fact that I got here and it just kind of worked out so well for me immediately was proof enough for me that this was where I was supposed to be.
If it wasn't going to be softball, what would you be doing right now, do you think?
If I had to, you know, if it's my script that I'm writing, I'm going to the WNBA. I could have, I probably should have, if it wasn't for softball, like I would have been there straight out of high school. So, you know, but yeah, I really did love basketball. You know, never gave volleyball a try, but I probably should have.
Was it difficult to make a decision between basketball and softball, or was it a pretty clear path for you?
No, I joke and tease. I probably stopped playing basketball in seventh grade.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, so it's been softball all day, all night for the last, you know, couple decades.
Yeah. Now a senior, I'm sure these girls look to you to be a leader on this team. How would you characterize yourself as a leader for the Lady Owls?
I'm going to humbly say selfless. Everything I do and every choice I make, especially as a captain, is for the betterment of my whole team. I care about each of the individual girls so much, and I don't think they know how much even, you know, I think about them all the time. I'm thinking about what's best for us, and I'm thinking about how we get the goals that we're working so hard towards, and all I ask is that they work hard in return, and a lot of them do, and it's just been a really good journey.
You're studying communications at OIT. You kind of talked about how you work the weekend basketball games along the sports information department. Is that a field you'd like to pursue? Where do you see yourself taking that kind of workload?
Honestly, I'm a big yapper, so if you give me a mic and get me a game, and I will just go and go and go, and I really do enjoy that, hence my degree, you know. But I love coaching, and I love the game, and I love helping people the most, and I love the motivational aspect of the game. So I'm looking for something in those areas as well. It's just, I love connecting with people.
Well, welcome to the radio station. I mean, you found yourself in the right spot, I think.
Yeah.
Let's do some rapid fire questions together, okay. Real quick. Who's the funniest player on the team?
Oh, that's hard. We all have our own strengths. I'll just go. I'll go Jenna.
Okay. What's going to be your walk-up song this season, and why did you choose it?
I don't know. I had a feeling you were going to ask me
that,
too.
The game is in a few days.
I know. It's an away game, so I don't have to know that yet. But, you know, if anyone out there can help me.
Okay. Another music question. Who controls the pregame playlist, and what's your favorite song on said playlist?
Okay. That would be Malia. And this year we added Stir Fry.
Okay.
Amigos. That one surprised me, but you know, I really like that one so far.
Who's the most likely player to start a chant in the dugout?
Malia.
Quick one. Mm-hmm. I have a question real quick, just bouncing off of that. How much time do you practice those chants specifically? Do you guys like carve out a practice day and it's like, this is the chant day, or does it just come naturally?
We really should. We get to that first game and it's rough. If you pay attention to that, it's rough. So it's definitely like practice as we go. But we got good leadership with vocals on our team, so we're good.
All right, back to rapid fire. Where's the toughest place outside of Stillwell Stadium to play in the Cascade Conference?
Southern's Field, probably.
What is your must-have snack on a long road trip?
You know what? I'm just going to go with Cheez-Its and pickles.
And pickles?
Like as a combo.
Okay.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Okay, it's rapid fire. I won't stay around for long. What do you think Coach Stewart would say about you in three words?
Great team player.
Okay. Addison Kashnick along with us tonight, Oregon Tech softball player. We're going to wrap things up here in just a couple minutes. Game's coming up this weekend in Arizona. What do you think it's going to take to come out and grab these wins, start the season out on the right foot?
We just love playing in the sun, so we're going to have that energy and just keep that energy going, and I think our bats will follow. Our defense is on lock, so I'm just excited to see what we can do.
Any final thoughts before I let you get out of here tonight? I want to say appreciate you coming down and spending some time before you get out on the road.
No, I appreciate you too. These questions are great, and I'm having fun with my team, and I hope you guys come out and watch.
Addison Kashnick, Oregon Tech softball player. They start the season on the road this weekend in Arizona. First home game in about a month, right? Coming up at Stillwell Stadium. So that's when you can get out and see them. You can also, I want to say thank you again, Addison, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Be sure to grab a podcast of this show on mybasin.com after it's done. We're going to take one more quick break on the program and we'll wrap it up coming up on the other side.
We are here with Pete Belcastro from Geno's on East Main Street. And first of all, Pete, thank you so much for being such a big part of our sports coverage.
You bet. This is Geno's second year, and we're thrilled to be a part of that part of the community. Yes.
What made you and Geno's want to be such a big part of this?
Well, when I became part of Geno's, I go back to my father, who owned Meadowbell Creamery here for a 30-year run. And he always was a sponsor of KU Sports and Falcon Sports during the 50s and 60s. This went with Bill Girardi. KAGO. Mm. And so here I had this opportunity when you guys offered it to us and said yes. He always was part of sports, local sports. Geno should be a part of local sports too.
That's pretty amazing. And Geno's has a big anniversary coming up.
We're really excited. In 2026, my sister Fran Dearborn will have owned Geno's for 40 years.
Wow.
So we're planning a whole year-long celebration of this. Starting the anniversary year, we got new swag, new logos, new menu coming.
Very
I can't
cool.
wait for it.
Can you tell us one extra special thing that's going to be coming up for the anniversary?
Oh, yes. We're bringing back the Calabrese Fire Sticks, which was Uncle Joe's sausage dried. And they're like pepperoni sticks. And we made them before. We sold every one we ever made. We eat them all ourselves. They're coming back for the anniversary. And we can't wait to share them because people loved them.
Very cool. We're very happy to have you be a part of our sports coverage and have Geno's in our community. Thanks so much, Pete.
You bet.
Is brought to you by Geno's Cafe on East Main Street in Klamath Falls. Dine in or call ahead. Go to ilovegenos.com.
Josh Eldridge back with you tonight on Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 960 Sports with a podcast available on mybasin.com. Like I always say, go back, grab a podcast of the show if you missed any portion of it. Talked with Mazama girls basketball players and their head coach, Kyle Slazak, Leah Hernandez, Hannah Giacomelli joined us earlier. Just got done chatting with Addison Kashnick as well from Oregon Tech softball. They are opening up the season in Arizona early next week. Want to keep talking about Oregon Tech, though, for just a moment. The men and women's basketball teams with a few big games coming up this weekend. On the road up north, taking on Bushnell and Corbin, and both teams in a very unique spot at this point in the season, a place where they've never been this late in the season, and that's in a four-way tie for first place. At least that's the case for the women's side now. And if you would have asked me before Tuesday night, I would have said the same thing for the men too, although LC State did pick up a win earlier in the week. They defeated Walla Walla back on Tuesday, 64-57. So they have that 12-3 conference mark. Eastern Oregon, Oregon Tech, and Southern Oregon all a half game back. Each of them are 11-3. We'll have a better idea of how that's all shaping up after this weekend is over. Bushnell and Corbin for their part, by the way. Bushnell 8-6. That's the Saturday opponent for OIT. The Corbin Warriors 6-8. That's on the men's side. On the women's side, Corbin is one of those teams in the mix on a four-way tie at the top of the league. Eastern Oregon, Corbin, Southern Oregon, and of course Oregon Tech. LC State's only a half game back. They are 11-4, and College of Idaho is only one game back of them, and they've also clinched a postseason berth. That makes it so six of the eight spots in the Cascade Conference postseason are clinched on the women's side, and on the men's side it's the same. Six spots are clinched. So it's going to be a real tight finish down and a lot of up and down movement. I mean, it's really a logjam in those top six spots for the women's side, separating everybody by just one game. So big down the stretch for OIT. Six games left on the season for both teams, and coming down the stretch, every game is the most important game of the season. You heard Jackson Cooper say that on this show last week when he was a guest with Tatum Schmierbach, and man, every game, that it just becomes more apparent that every game is the most important game of the season. So 5:30 Friday night for the women against Corbin, 7:30 for the men against Corbin. The ladies, as always, on 104.3 and 960 Sports. That's the station you got right now. The men over on Oregon Country Giant, 92.5 KLAD. Mike Safford going to be on the call with you all weekend long. Speaking of must-win games, by the way, Super Bowl this weekend. And was that a real clip I saw of someone asking, was it a must-win game to one of the coaches on New England this week? I thought that was kind of a silly question. But yes, the Super Bowl is on Sunday. Seattle and New England. Yes, the question on everyone's mind. What does Josh Eldridge think of the Super Bowl? I'm going to have to go with Seattle in this one, only because my friends are big Seattle fans. They're not my team necessarily. I like watching them because of my friends. I'm excited to see them play for a Super Bowl. I was in kind of a dilemma earlier this week. My best friend in the whole world is a diehard Seahawks fan. And I texted him earlier in the week and I said, can I still come over for the Super Bowl? Because he usually just has us over there. We, you know, have pizza, hang out, watch the game, whatever. It's usually four or five of us. And I didn't know if I was able to go over there, because I know if my team was playing an important game, like if the Blazers were in the NBA Finals or something like that, I would want to watch the game in complete silence, solitude, no one around me. I can't deal with it. Get away from me. My team is playing in the big game. And so I sent him a text and I said, is it okay if I still come over? Or do you want to watch this game in private? And he said, you know, it's tradition. Come on over. If it was anyone else, would probably say no. And so I felt honored. So I'm going to watch the Super Bowl with a Seahawks fan. It's going to be an interesting experience. I'm hoping just for that case that they wind up winning. Right now, the spread is 4.5. I like the over. I like a touchdown win for Seattle. Probably more over under 45.5. I think that's right in the ballpark. The money line right now favors Seattle. Right now, New England plus 190. Those are all according to DraftKings. So don't know if you place many wagers on the big game. I usually save all my years betting for the Super Bowl, but that's just how I do it. Or if you bought Super Bowl squares, hopefully you come away with some big bucks after Sunday's Super Bowl. And hopefully for all those Seattle fans out there, I know a few others that listen to the show. Hopefully you have a good Monday. Maybe you can even call out on Monday too if the party's too good on Sunday. Want to bring us back here locally. Coming up tomorrow, Henley at home taking on Hidden Valley. We're going to be out there on the broadcast on mybasin.com. Girls start at 6. Boys start around 7:30. Hoping you can join us tomorrow night. Like I said, Oregon Tech basketball plays tomorrow night. They also play Saturday afternoon at 3 and 5 o'clock. And also want to put it out there one more time. The Genos All-Star Classic happening again this year, March 20th at Mazama High School. That is the date that you definitely want to have circled on your calendars. We talked with Leah Hernandez about it earlier in the program about last year's big game, and this year's is coming up on March 20th. Big thanks to the folks down at Geno's celebrating their 40th anniversary for not only sponsoring our show, but also putting that together. And also shout out to the Klamath and Lake Counties Food Bank. They'll be partnered up with us again this year and benefiting from it as well. So big shout out to the folks at the Klamath and Lake Counties Food Bank. For our show, Ballin' in the Basin, we are out of here tonight, but we're back next week. Same time, same place. I hope you have a great weekend. Hope all your teams win, and I will see you then.
104.3 and 960 Sports. KLAD Klamath Falls and K282CB Klamath Falls, the Basin Sports Leader.